You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're about 30 minutes late, but thanks for joining me. I heard that commercial there for Vista Del Mar Retirement Community, talking about walking and exercise and health and depression. And I got to tell you, I've been walking every day for about 2.5 weeks. I used to do it all the time, but I've took about a 2-3 year break. And I am horribly depressed. No, I am feeling better, actually. It's getting me up in the morning, getting me out. And it's amazing. It's okay to feel a little hungry. Just remember that. We're not third world nation here. Feel a little hungry. It's good for you. Speaking of Vista Del Mar and retirement community, we have a 73-year-old man who won't be spending any time soon at Vista Del Mar. Let's see. Is he actually? Well, I don't know if he's going to be in jail. But he was a former Orange County real estate agent. Oh, yeah. 6 years in prison for his role in a real estate scheme to sell illegally converted condominiums. Phil Benson, 73, of Hayden, Idaho, was also ordered to pay $680,000 to Stewart Title, who insured the condos. In his scheme, Benson avoided a 1984 city law that out there in Hayden, Idaho, requiring apartment owners to modify properties and pay a $7,000 conversion fee before you could sell the apartments as condos. So this guy sold apartments. It's amazing how you can get away with that. And he pleaded guilty to 24 counts of fraud. He sold 47 apartment units as condominiums, and they weren't properly converted. So you want to steal your neighbor's property and avoid jail? The first step is to get into a squatting position. Squatter's rights. You know, I was my friend Jeff from Redlands, the atypical landlord who's been on the program a few times, was visiting, and he had never actually been to the courthouse. And we walked into a trial. And we just walked into the back, and there was no one there in the gallery. Is that what they call us? And there was an attorney standing there cross-examining this guy who was not his client, you could tell. And this guy was in an orange jumpsuit. He might have had shackles on him. But yet they were talking about the fact that this guy was claiming he had squatter's rights. He was looking for adverse possession on the lawyer's client's property. So why was this guy in an orange jumpsuit? Well, it shoot is correct. He shot somebody on the property. And so he was in jail for shooting somebody on a property that he was claiming he had squatter's rights to for adverse possession. So bizarre. Just a slice of life. He just walked in and we just sat there and they took a break and I talked to the attorney. I did get his name and number. And I hope I know where it is, because someday we'll call him up and have him on the show. This was 6-8 months ago. I'm sure the trial has concluded. I'd love to know what happened with that. Make a note. Let's call him. So the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet your neighbor's property. They're claiming as part of the Ten Commandments. But real estate law in every state says it's all right to steal your neighbor's land without going to jail if you comply with state law. Is this true? Well, when it happens sometimes when a property is vacant and unused and the rightful owner might fail to pay the property taxes. That's the key. And good luck trying to get away with this. So in essence, this author is claiming that state law encourages stealing of property and returning it to the property tax rolls. That's very dark. They don't care if grandma loses her house as long as they get their property taxes. Squatter's rights, except every state except Louisiana, all states except Louisiana adopted variations of English common law back in the 1800s and early 1900s. Louisiana chose the French Napoleonic Code, which is often very foreign to non-residences. I don't know what their code is, but for the other 49 states, English common law includes a tradition of squatters' rights. So you have to occupy real estate without permission. It's also known as open and notorious use. You must pay the property taxes for a specific number of years required by state law. And then you could claim fee simple absolute ownership. So let's see. There's two methods to steal your neighbor's property. Each state law has laws on two methods of stealing without going to jail. Acquire legal title and full use. It's the most difficult. And this is, again, I mentioned adverse possession. You must occupy the entire property without the owner's permission for the required number of years. Now, in California, they have the easiest squatter's rights. But even still, I'd be love to see how many people actually have done this in California. You must occupy a California property for 5 years without the owner's permission, pay the property taxes, and then you can acquire full ownership by then suing the legal owner for a quiet title lawsuit. It's that easy. Well, I'd like to know how easy that is. I'd like to know how many times that is. Now, in Texas and several other states, they have much tougher adverse possession laws. 30 years require open and notorious, hostile, exclusive, and continuous occupancy for 30 years. We just had a mortgage broker on who's saying people don't take out loans. No one lives anywhere for 30 years. So needless to say, not many Texans claim title by adverse possession. I don't know who to find out, who to ask how many Californians claim title by adverse possession. I can't believe it'd be very many. So that's the gamut from 5 to 30 years. Now, the other one, the part two, is stealing it by hostile use. You don't want the entire property without paying. Maybe you just want a part of the property, perhaps to plant flowers or vegetables. All you need is a prescriptive easement. Now, you could cut a deal with your neighbor and buy a prescriptive easement or trade. But here it's trying to get it without permission. The legal requirement in each state are usually the same as acquiring title by adverse possession, but you don't have to pay the property taxes. So you don't actually own it fee simple, but you have a prescriptive easement to plant your flowers. And here's another thing. The use need not be exclusive. So you could end up sharing the prescriptive easement with the property owner or another owner, or user, I should say. However, permissive use defeats ever acquiring a prescriptive easement. Permissive use defeats it. So if your neighbor gives you permission, you will never obtain a permanent prescriptive easement. Examples could be driveways, paths, or any part of a property that's used without permission. So if you want to do this, you don't get permission, you use the portion of the property, then you have to bring a quiet title lawsuit against the title holder, and good luck, you know, winning that. Gives an example of Stanford Law on Sunday mornings. They ran into a police officer directing a detour. They were driving to nearby Palo Alto out at Stanford Law and asked what was going on, and the cop explained that every summer Stanford blocks its private roads for a few hours on Sunday to prevent anyone from acquiring a permanent prescriptive easement. That's hard to believe, but that's Robert Bruss, an attorney who's claiming to have gone to Stanford Law. And if it happened, if he says it happened, I guess it happened. Let's see, Grant. There reminds me of a property up here at the top of San Marcos Pass. It's called the Castle. People go in there for years. It's basically the remains of a Knapp's Castle. Knapp's Castle, thank you. And there's a sign right there, permission to pass, you know, is granted, revocable. And that has sold. That has sold. So those little hikes are gone as far as I know. What else? Oh, a good example is someone, if you buy, you know, he gives an example of someone in Florida who bought some land in Arkansas on eBay for $3,000. And he he was talking about how great it was, and he was asked, "Well, when would you last visit the land?" He goes, "Never. I have never seen it. But at $3,000, how could I go wrong?" There's a property just begging for an adjacent owner to adversely possess or at least acquire some kind of prescriptive easement. So obviously you want to mark your property, and visit it. And if you see anyone using your property, shoot them. Valid summary. Well, there you go. So is it really going to happen? I'll try to do a little research and see if we could find out if anyone. I know when we've had the attorney of record here, the official Hatch and Parent attorney of record, Susan Petrovich, on. We've talked about this, and I remember her saying she's never given me an example. Okay, there's people out there, stranger than truth, and you can't believe it happened. But I won't even get into this, but I'll just give you the question to show you how people don't pay attention. Man writes in, he goes, "How can I find out the details of a quitclaim deed I signed in 1990 in an attorney's office? I recently found out it never recorded." Well, that's very smart to sign a quitclaim deed and never follow up to see if it was recorded. And the attorney that I was at, well, he's retired, and, I don't remember his name. Oh, and the quitclaim for the property, that belonged to a bank. It was for a property that belonged to a bank, which has since gone out of business. Well, first of all, if the property belonged to a bank, it doesn't belong to you, how could you sign a quitclaim deed? And now he says the property is held by the city. What should I do next? I tell you what, you get, find the second half of your brain. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate will come back for the fourth quarter for the weekly multiple listing update.